All right, I got more microphones. I know what to do with here. If I start lighting up, unplug something. All right. Got a question. I got my scriptures here. I think it'd be easier for me. I got a question for you. Have you ever faced a crisis in your life? No, not in trucking, right? That's what every morning. Have you ever been in a crisis or a situation that seemed like it would never end? When I think of that, I think of a young man in the Old Testament by the name of Joseph. Anybody remember the story of Joseph? He was hated by his brothers. He was his dad's favorite son. But his brothers, you know, he went out on a mission for his dad, and his brothers grabbed him and threw him in a pit. You remember that story, anybody? They sold him into slavery, and on and on and on it went. But what was amusing to me, I guess you'd say, I heard a message on this not long ago, and it kind of reminded me of it. What's amusing about it to me is God kept telling Joseph, I am with you. You know, I'm with you. Got thrown in the pit, I'm with you. Got sold into slavery, I'm with you. Heard a guy say the other day, if I'd been Joseph, I'd have said, how about being with somebody else for a change? Go be with my brother. If this is what I get. Anybody ever felt that way besides me? You know, you're in the crisis. You pray and you pray and you pray and you pray and don't seem like it's getting any better. Well, that's when we have to stand on something that's infallible. Turn to page 239 in that little Bible. I want you to see what the Word of God says. To me, this is one of the greatest promises in the entire Bible. You've heard it 1,000 times before, probably. And it's a very short and simple little verse. It's Hebrews 13:5 for those that have your own Bible. And it says simply this. He himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I want to talk to you about a friend today, unlike any other friend you ever had, that never, ever leaves you. Doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter how it looks. We can't be moved by our sight. You've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again, probably say it a bunch more times before I die, because I can identify with it as a truck driver. And I don't go by what I see, because these eyes right here, I've looked down the road before and saw water. I saw what looked like water, right? We call it an optical illusion, right? Was there water down there? No. My eyes told my brain there was water down there. And if you've been in combat, you learned, one of the first things you learned is about sound. Sound is very deceiving. According to humidity, according to the weather, according to the wind, you might think it's over here and it's over yonder. So I can't trust these either. They lied to me. They told me that sound was over there and it wasn't. They lied to me, right? They told my brain a lie, so I can't trust them. What is the only thing that we can trust today? Anybody know? You got it in your hand. The infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I'm here to tell you that you'll hear around and about these days that that Bible could be wrong. There's a big group going around today teaching that the Bible could be wrong. Well, I got news for you. If it could be wrong, throw it in the trash. We got to get to the point where you know that you know that you know that it's not wrong. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, or anything else, just like in Joseph's case, he kept his eyes on God and never wavered. Isaiah 43, you don't have in your little Bible. This is, by the way, I had claustrophobia before I got saved. Anybody here claustrophobic? You know what I'm saying, right? Somehow or another, that's gone from me now, praise the Lord. I don't know how, but it's gone. But don't put me in a little place. that's not a good, it wouldn't be a pretty sight at all. And it don't necessarily mean it's too little. If I can't get out, if you shut the door and I realize I can't get out, then it'll take over. And so I had a lot of fear in my life. The black cat, walking under a ladder. Anybody suffer from any of that or ever saw anybody like that? Man, if a black cat run across the road in front of us, I'd just about go nuts. Jan can tell you, I'd do an X on the windshield. Okay. All that is fear, right? Isaiah 43:1-7 is what God used to deliver me from that fear. And it says simply this, "But now thus saith the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." I like that. God Almighty says, Joe Hunter and all of you, you are mine. When you're a born-again Christian, you belong to the Most High God, right? Jan gets on to me sometimes when I do something crazy. I'll call myself stupid or dummy. Like Fred Sanford called his son all the time. That's where I got it, I think. Dummy, right? And I'll call myself dummy, and she'll say, "You're not a dummy. That's not what the Bible says." Amen? And neither are you. But that's not what I want to tell you. This next line is what I want you to pay attention to in Isaiah this morning. In verse 2 in Isaiah chapter 43, when you get time, look it up. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." And it says, "They shall not overflow you." When you walk through the fire, what does it say? "When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame scorch you." My point to you this morning out of this would be that you're definitely going to walk through the water. Some people make Christianity out to you get pie in the sky stuff. You know, you're going to get in a bubble and float above every problem. How many knows that's a lie? That ain't going to happen, not in this earth. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have trials. We're going to have things happen in our life and we can't do anything about. And sometimes they seem like they're going to go on forever. But we got to remember, he said in Isaiah 43 and many other places, "I will be with you." I'm okay. Okay. Before I got saved, I don't share much about this, but I was with a major company driving for them, and I had 7 credit cards in my pocket, belonged to the company, and they paid for motels, they paid everything, never questioned nothing. I mean, in 1969, we turned in one night bill at a motel for $200, they wouldn't even blink an eye at it. Most of that was a bar tab. And there was this guy called Big Al. We know Big Al now, but this was a different one. This guy was big, and I always went behind Big Al for obvious reasons. If they knock Big Al down, I'm leaving, you know. I ain't going in there. But you know, he was kind of my security. After I got saved, I realized something. Al can let me down. He might not show up at all, right? God has never failed me. He has never failed me. Now again, he doesn't answer me exactly like I want him to all the time. He doesn't answer me when I want him to all the time, but he always comes through. He never failed. He has stretched us out. I could tell you stories that you wouldn't even believe. We could start out, you ain't gonna believe this. You didn't even know it's a truck driver story, right? But with Truck Stop Ministries exist off of miracles like we just had right there from Grumpy and Sue. That's a miracle. We just go. Apparently God doesn't read the New York Stock Exchange to see how things are going. He promised to take care of our needs, amen? The only thing is, sometimes me and him disagree on what my needs are. I look at it as a need, he looks at it as a want. He didn't say he's gonna give me everything I want, did he? He said, I'll be with you. Psalm 23:4, that you're very familiar with. Psalm 23, one of the more popular places in the Bible. And Psalm 23:4 says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what did he say? First of all, the psalmist wrote, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. He said, you are with me. I will fear no evil. Everything's going to be all right. He went on to say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Nobody likes being in a valley. I want to be on the mountaintop all the time, you know. I want everything to work good all the time. Ain't going to happen, is it? It just isn't going to happen. I know you, especially you owner operators out there, you know everything's always just like you want it. You know, you're always a good load, never have problem. Yeah. I got some land, uninsured front property in Phoenix I'd like to talk to you about. If you buy that. What was that old song? If you'll buy that. Psalm 23 starts out, though, with a preface that we need to get to the point of so that the promises will apply to us. Let me tell you something. The only promise in the Bible that's applicable to a non-Christian, the only one that God has to do for you, is when a sinner, when an unbeliever says, forgive me my sins, he will do that. But all the promises in the Bible belong to every born-again Christian. Every one of them. So why do I ever have a need? Because he's going to give me what I need all the time. I don't know about you, but he doesn't seem to give me a whole lot of cushion. I'd like to have a little extra once in a while, you know, just so you could breathe a little bit. But it doesn't work that way all the time. But the first verse of Psalm 23, and you've heard it, you know it by heart. The Lord, what does it say? The Lord is my shepherd, right? What's a shepherd? The shepherd leads the flock. And we learned in Israel some years ago, Dan and I were given a trip over to the Holy Land, which was by far a highlight of our life. But we learned from talking to shepherds over there that it's amazing. They could be 10 flocks in this area right here, and a shepherd walk up and call out, and only his sheep will come out. How many have been on a farm around cows? Craziest thing that's that God ever put breath in. Try to drive them, right? Run right by the gate. It's wide open, right? You have to get one of them to go in there, and then they'll go, maybe. Sheep is different. That's why God equates us to sheep and him to the shepherd, because the sheep obey the shepherd without question. Again, he promised to never leave us, never forsake us, so I just obey what he says, and how it comes out is up to him. How it comes out is strictly up to him. So it says, the preface is, turn to page 110, by the way, while I'm getting there. He says in Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. Question we need to ask ourselves today is he my shepherd? Can I say he's my shepherd? All right? It's page 110 should be John 10:14. Are you there? John 10:14. Excuse me. Jesus is talking here. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. One version says, and my sheep know me. He's the good shepherd. My sheep know me. Now we need to get to that point. You know, it's a little bit insulting in a way to be equated to a sheep. They're not known to be real smart. But God says, Lee held his hand up. We can identify with that, can't we? We are the sheep of his pasture, the Bible says. And the shepherd, by the way, in the literal sense, the shepherd and the real sheep, the shepherd never leaves his flock unattended. He never leaves them in danger. If the danger's there, he's going to be there. And that's why Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And again, the other version I read said, and my sheep know me. I'm known by my sheep. My question to you today is, do you know the good shepherd? Oh, I know you know about him. Everybody knows about God. 90% of the people believe there is a God, you know. But who is he to you? There's a lot of religions in America today. One of the greatest things, they sung about our freedom. And I, too, am a disabled veteran. But, you know, one thing about our freedom is killing us in a way. There's all kind of freedom in America, as in religion. And there's a gazillion different religions in America today, and not all of them are good. That Bible you have in your hand, whatever version you might have, the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God, and that's what we go by. Not what I think, not what somebody else says, but that. And there's some going around saying, like I say, that it could be wrong. You need to know. By the way, this word know in that John 10:14 is a word like they was translated in Genesis when it said Adam knew his wife Eve. How many out here knows what he was talking about there when he said he knew his wife? It means they had a sexual, intimate relationship, right? God wants to have a very intimate relationship with you and me. Then he becomes our shepherd. We become his sheep, and we follow him again without question. If you really, really love God, if you are his sheep, then you're going to want to learn all you can about him. And the only way you could do that is through the infallible Word of God. Another place in the Old Testament I think of, when I think about Jesus never forsaking me, is Psalm 91:5, or rather 91:15. The psalmist here, the 91st Psalm, is what I call the Christian's assurance policy. This is the Christian's assurance policy. Because one of them is, for instance, verse 15 says, he shall call upon me, and I will deliver him. I will answer him. It says, I will be with him in trouble. I'm glad that God don't come to me in trouble. He's already there. He's already there. Everywhere I go, he is. Everywhere you go, he is. Whether you acknowledge it or not, he's there. He's there waiting on you to call on him. But just like, you know, sometimes us parents and grandparents want to help our children, but we want them to ask. How many have been there just kind of standing by waiting for them to ask? You know what they need and you want to help them, but you just let them ask. God is standing by, folks, wanting you to just call on him. Now, one reason we don't call on him anymore than we do is because of the way we're living. Same thing with the child. If my child is outside by will doing their thing, they don't even want to be around me, let alone ask me for something, right? Because they're convicted. So the same thing with when we're not living for God is we don't want to call on him because we know we're out of his will. Psalm 91 starts out again, it prefaces it. It says, he who abides with God. Talks about he who stays or abides in God. So it's not somebody that visits only when times are bad. You see, Jesus wants to be with you and wants to be part of your life and my life all day, every day, 24/7. God's not part of my life just because things are bad and I call on him. And we've had some major catastrophes in our life. That beautiful gray-headed lady right over there, been married to for 44 years. We heard those words that Cindy and the other people have heard before, the three little words, it is cancer. There's something about that big C word that takes the wind out of your sail. It is cancer. But you know what? Just because it is cancer, that's not the final word either, right? And thanks to technology, thanks to the doctors, thanks to hospitals, most of the time or a lot of times they can beat it. But we got to trust in them to do that. If we didn't go ask for help, we would never get it. What if when she found that lump, what if she just said, oh, well, it's just my plot in life, and not go to the doctor, not do nothing? She probably wouldn't be standing there right now. She called on help. First of all, we prayed, and then we went to the doctor. Because even though it's the doctor, just like the man we prayed for, you know, he may use medicine, he may use miracles, or he may use a combination of both, but it's still him. It's still God. And any doctor worth his or her salt will tell you that. So I want to read the letter also back to Psalm 23, how it closes. And I'll close with this thought, is this. Psalm 23, I think it's verse 6, says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And how many knows how that closes? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. I don't know about you, but I've had about as much of this down here as I want. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I want to stay here and work for the Lord. I want to see my grandchildren grow up. I want to be with them. I love them with all of my heart. In fact, we're going to do something unusual this show. We're going home from here. Jerry and Julie's going on. They're going to do the traveling. Jan and I are in that fifth wheel right there. And it's headed for Georgia just as soon as I get it hooked up. But because I love my children and grandchildren. But there's a higher thing in my life that I long to see. I don't want to sound like some kind of crazy, but I am so looking forward to the day. The eastern sky is going to split wide open according to God's word. Jesus is going to be standing in the clouds. At the same second, less than that, the trumpet's going to blow. The Bible says, and he's going to call us home. All born-again believers, all at once, from truck stops all over the world. Man, we're going to leave the trucks behind because he said there wouldn't be any heartaches up there. Can't be any trucks, so there won't be no heartaches, right? But you know what? If he's your shepherd, if he's your leader, if he's your savior, you can look forward to that. And it's going to happen. We're going to die. If it don't happen pretty soon, we're going to die. The thing is, when breath leaves my body, I want to tell you right now, I've said this before, I want a party going on. I want a party going on. I don't want anything sad. I want you to rejoice. Because while you're standing there looking at that good-looking corpse, you can say, that's the best. Man, he looks good. How many people ever walk up at a casket and said, they look good? They did, Fred. I mean, hey, you know, they may look good considering. I want you to say he's rejoicing right now. Right now he's running around heaven having a big time. Amen? That's what it's about. Is he your Savior today? The remaining question I want to ask you based on Psalm 23:6 is, where do you plan to dwell forever? Forever. And ever, and as long as you want to say that word, eternity goes on and on and on and on and on. We're here for a few short years in comparison to eternity. My question is, when you leave here, where are you going? The greatest promise for, again, a non-believer, and believers too for that matter, is in 1 John 1 and 9. Somebody turn over there. I believe that's page 251 in that Bible. Your Bible, 1 John 1 and 9. I use this every time when I speak somewhere. And it's simply this. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Didn't say he might. He said he would. He said he is faithful and just. Many times I have drivers say, well, I've done too much. I've pushed him off too far. Listen, if you pushed him too far, you wouldn't be sitting right there. And Romans chapter 1 does talk of a point of no return. There is absolutely a point of no return. That's not a threat, that's a promise. Because just as he's faithful to forgive me, he's also, there's a wrath of God that's still there. For those that die outside God without being born again, they're going to face that forever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible describes hell in pretty good detail. But even if it wasn't fire, even if it wasn't none of that, just to be separated from God would be horrible. I can't even imagine that, to be separated from God. But you got a choice today. Are you living right where you're supposed to be? And you know that, I don't. And it don't do no good to say yes or no to me. In your heart of hearts, can you say, if I die this minute, I'm going home? I've shared this before. 2004, I had a heart ablation done. And anybody know what that is? They run the wires up your veins, or arteries, I guess, and they welded a place in my heart. Well, that's what I call it. They said they were going to burn it. I thought he was welding, you know. But I watched him. He said, "You want to watch?" I said, "Absolutely." Turned the monitor around so I could see it. I thought that was interesting. Looked like Star Trek or something, you know, going up through there. But when they were strapping me down, you know, we could say this out here, and Chaplain Joe says it all the time. I'm a bucket mouth, and I know that. I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. But when you strap down on that table, and they're going to run an instrument into your heart that could end it all. I looked at the doctor and I said, "Sir, if things go wrong," he was telling me all the stuff that could happen. I mean, they encourage you, you know. This can happen, that can happen. Oh, great. Now you tell me, I'm strapped down to this table. But I said, "Sir, if everything goes wrong, it's okay." He snickered. I said, "You don't understand. My wife's sitting right out that door with a living will that says, 'Do not resuscitate me.'" I said, "If I get one foot in heaven and you bring me back, we're going to have a major problem." And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love her with all of my heart. But if I get there, don't you pray me back down here. Don't come here with none of this resurrecting of the dead. I know that's in the Bible. You leave me alone. All right? I want to go. I want to be here as long as I can. I want to do all I can. But when my time comes, as they say, I know that I know that I know. Can you say that? If you can't, with all the certainty, I want you to do something for me this morning. And you know what I'm going to do. We're going to pray. We're going to pray a simple little prayer of repentance, just like the Bible just said, 1 John 1:9, for us to do. We believe that Jesus was God the Son. We believe he died for our sins. We believe he was raised from the dead, according to Romans chapter 10. But then we got to confess. We got to say, we got to ask for forgiveness. I want everybody here to pray this prayer with me, with your heads up and eyes open. I want you to get used to praying with your eyes open. Because if you're going down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. That fifth wheel over there is made out of fiberglass. It can't stand the impact, I guarantee you. And also, don't get on your knees. You can't see over the dash from there. But in all sincerity, the great part is I could pray anytime, anywhere, in any position. Amen? Kneeling shows humbleness, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's great when you can. But just booking it down the road, just talk to Jesus. The wonderful part about driving a truck is I had plenty of time to talk to it. But I also had a lot of time to shut up and listen to it. That's the hard part. I want to close with this prayer. And I'm asking, now if you need to pray it, you know it. I don't. You don't need to pray it? Great. Pray with me just in case somebody around you needs to. And we don't need to embarrass nobody. I don't believe in embarrassing nobody. I don't like scare tactics. Hell is there, absolutely. It's not any cooler than it was to start with. But I don't talk about hell a whole lot because I'm not going there. I don't care where it's at. I don't care where Hunts Point Market is now because I don't have to go back. I hope. I didn't mean that. I didn't say I wouldn't go. Been there and done that. Amen? That's an experience everybody ought to do. But anyway, hell is somewhere that I'm not going. If you confess your sins, mean it from your heart, you won't have to go either. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. I know I'm a sinner, and it's hopeless without you. So I ask you right now to forgive my sins, come into my heart, and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. I promise to live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. I believe your word. I receive your word. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Amen. Now, you and God know whether you meant that or not.